Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
So yes, before Pastor Nick comes up, I've been asked to read the what we believe to be the statements about the triune God. So for the next hour, I'll be reading this. Well, actually, it's quite short, but it's full of good things, so please listen. There is one God, the Creator, who exists eternally in unity as three equal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God is loving, holy, infinite, and worthy of all worship, as we've just experienced. The Father accomplishes his plan of salvation through both redemption and judgment. All things will be subject to him, and his kingdom will have no end. The Father sent the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of Mary when she was a virgin. Jesus became fully human while remaining fully God. Anointed by the Spirit, Jesus revealed the Father and the kingdom of God by his sinless life, teaching, and miracles. After he died for our sin, God raised him from the dead, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son and gives life throughout creation. The Spirit draws people to repentance and new life in Jesus Christ. Through the Spirit's indwelling, the Father and the Son are present to all believers, making them children of God.
Good morning. I know you are all riveted right now, correct? Yeah. I'm sure the theology nerds are riveted, and the rest of us are like, what did I just hear? And what did that mean? So thank you for the gripping, page-turning rendition of the statement, first statement of the essential truths. That's great. But what I want to share with you today is why what you heard is actually so amazing, like so powerful, so amazing, if we can understand what it means. So before we get into anything, let me just ask this question. When you picture God in your mind, what do you see? Like, what image comes to mind? A bearded guy. Oh. Wow. I get the Moses comment a lot. I've never heard that one before, so. Okay. Light. Yes. All right. A big throne with, okay. So what does God look like sitting on the throne? Like, okay, you see the throne, but what's on the throne? Okay. A white bearded guy. Okay. A guy with a white beard. That's what you mean. Yes. Thank you. You don't see anything? Just a throne? Can't imagine it? Okay. Oh, can't see because of the light. Okay. I see. Okay. So what we just heard, this section, it's actually the longest section of this statement of essential truths. And so what you just heard was the longest one, so every other sermon will be shorter. And all those paragraphs, all those statements we just heard, it covers like a multitude of doctrines. And you could actually probably do a full like message, a full sermon on each sentence. And it still does not say everything there is to say about God. And some of these doctrines that we just heard are covered in other parts of the Statement of Essential Truths. And so actually today, I just want to focus on the primary doctrine that was mentioned in the very first sentence, the very first paragraph, from which all of the other doctrines and beliefs flow. It is the one of the, if not the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith, and that is the Trinity, the triune God. So let's jump into it. We are, what I want to do today is I want to answer two questions that are on the next slide. The first question is simply, say what? You can go to the next slide. What the heck are you talking about? Like, when you say triune God, when we read these statements, what do you actually mean? And then the second statement, which is probably the one that we most want to hear today, is, or the second question is, so what? Like, what difference does it make to me in my daily life that God is Trinity? Like, is this something I'm just going to learn about in my head and it's some intellectual belief about God? Or does it actually mean something for my life today as a follower of Jesus? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. It makes a huge difference. The doctrine of the Trinity makes a tremendous difference to the gospel and to the way you and I live our life today. Believe it or not, we probably will believe it, that the Trinity is one of the most difficult doctrines to explain, and it's one of the most avoided doctrines to explain and understand, but it is absolutely essential to our faith. How we think of, how we conceive of the Trinity affects what we think about every other Christian doctrine. But before we get to the doctrine itself, I just want to throw out one caveat, which is simply God, our God, is a big God. Right? Never in a million years would you and I be able to understand the infinite God. A fourth century guy, Hilary of Poitiers, he said, God can only be known as God has made himself known to us. So in other words, we can only know God as he reveals himself to us. The rest of God remains a mystery. And the doctrine of the Trinity simply states that the eternal God has revealed himself eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the doctrine. The eternal God has revealed himself eternally as Father, Son, and Spirit. So let me just start with a very brief but not boring history of this doctrine starting in the Old Testament. But let me ask you another question. How many times does the word Trinity appear in the Bible? You're all right. Zero. Zero times does the word Trinity appear in the Bible. It's not mentioned in the words of Scripture, but it doesn't mean that the doctrine itself is unbiblical. So we can go to the next slide with the Old Testament. One of the wonderful mysteries of God in the Old Testament is his revelation of himself. So on the one hand, we have Deuteronomy 6:4, which explicitly states, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." On the other hand, at creation, God says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make humanity in our image." So our one God uses plural pronouns in describing himself. He does the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6. Therefore, even here in the Old Testament, we see the seeds of a Trinitarian doctrine. Jumping to the New Testament, There is no explicit doctrine of the Trinity in the New Testament, but biblical authors thought and wrote in Trinitarian forms. So, for example, we see there the words of Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A little later on, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I'm going to send you an advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and testify about me. So we have the Holy Spirit coming from the Father, being sent and testifying about Jesus. So we have this Trinitarian language going on. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Peter often speaks in the same way. 1 Peter has this very similar thing, talking about all three persons of the Trinity. So we have this Trinitarian language referencing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even some of the actions that we see in the New Testament are very Trinitarian. So, for example, the baptism of Jesus. What's happening? There's Jesus being baptized. There's the Holy Spirit coming from heaven. And there's the Father's voice speaking. So it's a Trinitarian action. The incarnation is a Trinitarian action. We see it all through the New Testament. In Galatians, in Ephesians, this Trinitarian action, meaning that all three persons of the Trinity are involved at the same time, right? The baptism of Jesus, all three persons are involved at the same time. So that's really cool. I mean, that's great. And then you have all these early church councils, and they went through their debates, and they went through their creeds, and they went through their councils. But by the end of the fourth century, they arrived at what they considered to be. So this is 400 years it took to develop this doctrine. And they arrive at this, what they consider to be an orthodox definition of God as Trinity. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They are one God, and they exist eternally in three persons. In fact, the word Trinity is actually a contraction. It means tri-unity. So Trinity it emphasizes the threeness and the oneness of God, tri-unity. So, okay, there's your fascinating but not boring history of that doctrine. So let me just explain it to you as best I can. And I think the easiest way to do it is if we just use a few very short statements. So these are the specifics of the doctrine of the Trinity. Then after this is where we'll get to the so what. What does it all mean for me today? So the first statement we have is God is one. There is one God. There is only one God. The second statement, God is three. God does not consist of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Trinity, as one author said, Trinity is God's way of being God. So God is one, God is three. Next statement, God is three in one. So this one God exists eternally in three persons. These three persons are equally, fully one God, fully and equally divine in essence and attributes. In other words, each person, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, each person is completely God. And God is completely each person and all three persons. I know. Next statement, God is unity. The triune God is involved in every area of his divine plan. Father, Son, Spirit created the world. Father, Son, Spirit are involved in our salvation. Father, Son, Spirit love the world. Unlike one, there is a I guess you call it a heresy or an unorthodox belief called modalism, which would say that God just shifts into different modes, right? Oh, Holy Spirit now, Jesus now, Father now. But the doctrine of the Trinity says no, always, always all three, always one. So he is unity. Okay, next statement. Yes, God is unity. Guess what the next statement is? Go ahead. Next slide. God is a diversity. So we have God is one, God is three, God is three in one, God is unity, God is diversity. There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is differentiation. The Father cannot be the Father unless there is a Son. And the Son cannot be a Son unless there is a Father. This diversity is demonstrated by the roles within the Trinity that we heard about, that Peter read, right? The Father sends the Son. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. However, these roles, they are simply descriptions of relationship. They do not indicate chronology, that one person existed before the others. They do not indicate importance, that one person is more important than another one. And they do not indicate essence, that one person is more God than the other ones. All right, next statement. God is complete. And by this, I mean that in and of himself, God is fully whole and fully complete, completely complete. He is lacking nothing. He does not need anything. God is not lonely. God is not depressed. He is completely complete and perfectly whole in and of himself. Next statement. God is love. The triune God is perfect love. So here's a cool thing about love, if you think about it. Love requires more than one. There has to be a lover and a beloved, right? Love does not exist unless there is a relationship between two objects. And so if, like the previous statement, if God is completely complete in and of himself, and if God is perfect love in and of himself, then our one God must have more than one person. Otherwise, he could not be love. So the amazing fact is that God is love within himself. The Father loves the Son. The Son reciprocates that love to the Father. And this love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Next statement. God is community. Is a bit of an expansion to the last one of God is love, but basically the triune God is perfect community. So a church father, Tertullian, wrote that from eternity, God is one, but God is not alone. In other words, as another author says, at the center of the universe is a relationship, right? And a different author calls it a Trinitarian life together, with a hyphen, life together. God is life together in and of himself. Okay, two more quick statements. Next one, God is eternal. God is eternally three in one. There has never been a time, and there never will be a time, when the one God is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then the last one, maybe the most important one, here we go. God is incomprehensible. We cannot fully understand him or his revelation in the Trinity. We cannot fully understand the Trinity. One day, we shall see God as he is. But until then, we see through a glass darkly. So, God is one. God is three. God is three in one. God is a unity. God is a diversity. God is complete. God is love. God is community. God is eternal. God is incomprehensible. Yeah! So clear, right? The Trinity is not three gods. The Trinity is not God in three changing roles. The Trinity is not three one-third gods that make up a complete God. He is eternally existent as three in one. There has never been a time that God was not Father, Son, Spirit. And Jesus even hints at this with his statements where he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And I just want to clear up one thing. So I asked at the beginning, say, hey, what do you think of when you think of the Father? We got the man with the white beard. Not the white bearded man, the man with the white beard, right? But I just, you can go to the next slide, actually. So I want to just clear that this is not, like, calling God Father, it has nothing to do with gender. Jesus, the Son of God, clearly born a man, clearly has a gender. But he says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So when we speak of God as Father, we speak of that role within the Trinity. He is spirit, which means there are no physical traits that would make him a male, right? So God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And also, I mentioned, that modalism, which is kind of an unorthodox belief. Let me ask this. How many people here have heard some kind of analogy about the Trinity? Like, maybe the egg, right? We've probably all heard the egg. The what? What's that one? One popsicle, three flavors? Okay. All right. So, and I've heard water as well, like water, or H2O can be, you know, solid, liquid, gas, state. But they all fall short. They're all... I don't even like using them. I wasn't even going to mention them, but I thought I'd mention them because we've probably all heard them. They're all very poor, poor pictures of the Trinity. Like, take even the egg, right? The egg, we have these three parts. There's shell, there's the egg white, and there's the yolk, just like God. No, it's not just like God. Because in order for that to be like God, the egg would have to be completely the shell. And the egg would have to be completely the yolk. And the egg would have to be completely the white of the egg all at the same time, which is impossible, right? Which is why it's so hard to understand this infinite God in finite terms. Like, if you just take the eggshell and you put it on the counter, right, and you got the yolk over here, you don't look at the eggshell and say, well, there's a complete egg. But that's the way it is with God. Jesus is completely God. The Father is completely God. The Spirit is completely God. Okay, so just to let you know that when you hear those metaphors and those things, they're not very good. That's all. Okay, so here's the most important question, I hope, for us today. And that is, who cares? Great, I had all these 10 statements. It's wonderful. I have maybe a slight picture of what it means, but, like, so what? What does it mean for me today? Like, why would it make any difference to the way I live my life today? But it's so, so important, simply because the doctrine of the Trinity has some very practical consequences. And I'm going to give you two before we wrap up. So, you can go to the next slide. So, for example, regarding the purpose of our existence, the fact that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. The fact that at the center of the universe is a relationship means that the Christian life is not about following rules. It's not about willpower and duty and moral effort. The Christian life is about accepting God's invitation to participate in the relationship that is at the center of the universe. It is an invitation to participate in life together with the completely complete triune God. So instead of focusing on being good so we can get to heaven, which is a really poor understanding of life, we can focus on being in relationship with perfect relationship. You and I are invited to join the perfect community that is God and find complete fulfillment in Him. This would be impossible without God's triune presence. So I would invite you this week to let go of thoughts like, what do I need to do or not do to be good or to be right or to be pure? And instead, this week, I invite you to simply ask yourself, how can I participate in, how can I enjoy relationship with God today? What can I do that will help me enjoy and participate in this perfect relationship at the center of the universe? God is already completely complete. God is already perfect relationship. You don't need to like bring something to the table like you're going to a potluck and say, I got to add something to this meal we're having. You don't need to add anything to God. All you need to do is enjoy Him and participate in Him. And so what will help you this week participate in and enjoy this perfect relationship at the center of the universe? What a wonderful way to think about the Christian life, right? It is so appealing rather than like, well, what I have to avoid, what rules do I have to follow? So that's the first sort of practical application of the Trinity, is the fact that God is Trinity means that you and I are simply invited to participate in life together with life together. That's who He is. And then secondly, as discussed above, because God is three in one, He is perfect love. And you and I are invited to join that perfect love. That means when you are having difficulty loving your irritating coworker or sibling or spouse, or whoever may be like grinding your gears this week coming up, if we're having difficulty like loving that person, you don't need to sort of whip up some sort of love on your own. Because the triune God, who is love, already loves your coworker perfectly. And the invitation you have is to join God in loving your coworker. You don't have to make this happen. God is already making it happen. You are invited to participate in that love with God. You cannot add to His love. However, you can join Him in His love of that person. Daryl Johnson puts it this way, that's on the screen here. We are invited to be a co-lover with God of God, which is worship. God is perfect love. So we don't have to whip up feelings on our own toward God. He already is love perfectly. So we join Him in that love, and that's worship. You are invited to be a co-lover with God of one another, which is community, right? When we are acting in love, we don't have to whip it up in our own power. God already loves perfectly. We can join Him in that love. And we are invited to be a co-lover with God of the world, which is mission. So in short, You were brought into being by the Trinity in order to experience life in the Trinity, which is intimacy and joy and servanthood and purity and power and creativity and peace. And none of this would be possible if God were not eternally three in one. That's why the Trinity is so important and so foundational to our faith. And history has produced reams of books attempting to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And it is difficult. It is a difficult doctrine to grasp because it endeavors to describe the infinite God in finite terms. And so our efforts are going to be weak at best. But that being said, Scripture demonstrates that God has revealed himself to us through who he is and through what he does as Father, Son, and Spirit. Eternally one God and only one God, and eternally three persons who are fully and equally one God. The Trinity is simply who God is. And the doctrine is a central tenet to the Christian faith. There is no God but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can go to the last slide. And I just want to end here with this slide. Like, when we try to explain or comprehend doctrine, especially doctrine about God and about the Trinity, it can become quite heady and diagnostic. But I just want to remind us that God is not a mystery to be solved. We can participate in the mystery. We can embrace the mystery. We don't need to solve it. The Trinity is not some kind of logic puzzle. And God is not simply an object of discussion. He is the glorious and awesome and gracious and compassionate and faithful and holy and just creator of the universe and lover of your soul. And the doctrine of the Trinity is simply sort of the undergirding of the reality of salvation and our relationship with God. So rather, as we leave today, rather than like solving God, we're invited to enjoy him as he is. And he has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are not just invited to enjoy him, but we are invited to glorify him as he is and as he has revealed himself to us. So understanding the doctrine of the Trinity is simply an invitation to know God more. And the beautiful thing about knowing God is it's like this double helix where the more we know God, the more we see who he is, the more we love God. And the more we love God, the more we want to know God. And then the more we know him, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the more we want to know him even more. It is beautiful. And the doctrine of the Trinity is just simply a doorway into this kind of relationship with God. To know him more fully, to know him more deeply, to know him more intimately, and as a result, be transformed. So why don't we end there with prayer? I just invite you to sort of sit for a moment with this message. Thanking God for who he is. Thanking him for his revelation to us of himself. Maybe even thanking him if this gave you a little bit of window into who he is and his glory and majesty. You can just thank him for that little bit of knowledge that you received today. And I would invite you even to take it a step further and just say to him, cry out to him, I want to know you even more. I want to know you more deeply. And so, Lord, we thank you for your revelation to us of yourself. And we recognize as finite people, you are just incomprehensible in many ways to us. But we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in the Trinity. You have revealed yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this revelation. And God, we want to enter into who you are. You have revealed yourself to us as perfect relationship and perfect love, who is the Trinity. We want to enter into that. We want to enter into this perfect relationship that you are. And we want to enter into this perfect love that you are and join you in loving others and loving the world. God, thank you that we don't have to whip up these things in our own strength. Your invitation is simply to join you in what you already are, which is perfect love and community. Thank you for that. And God, I pray that in this week ahead, you would help us to take the time to think about what we need in order to participate in and enjoy you as Trinity, this perfect relationship. I want to participate in this relationship. I want to enjoy it. What do I need to do this week, God, to help me get there? And just forgive us of the times that we have complicated things and tried to do things like in our own strength, in our own way, Lord. You know our heart. You know we have a good heart. We want to do well. But this week, God, help us simply to enter in to who you are and join you in whatever you're doing around us. We just thank you. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.